Thank you, Mr. Snyder. Appreciate that, my musical friend. Well, we started out with the discussion of the way things were from the beginning, and now we get to appreciate and be grateful for the way God is going to fix things. Jesus said in John 14, verse 1, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. You believe in me, right? In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwellings. If it weren't so, I would have told you. And Jesus told us, his disciples, that he is going to prepare a place for you. He's preparing a place for us as we speak. How do you think it makes him feel when he sees us gathering, fellowshipping, congregating every Sabbath on a day he made for us, looking forward to and waiting? He said, if I go prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, notice what his purpose is, where I am, you may also be. Just like a gentleman who I couldn't help thinking about this week, what was he thinking when he went to prepare and take the linen, and he took courage and went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus? He was a prominent council member. His name was Joseph. Joseph of Arimathea, right? And it says, he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. That is what we are doing here. That's the title of my message today, the kingdom of God. Joseph was waiting for God's kingdom. As Jesus told us, we are to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What things? He was telling them in verse 25, don't worry about your life, food, clothing, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. All these things will be added to you if you seek God's kingdom first. And we were reminded of this concept by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 9 when he told about this coming kingdom. When Isaiah 9, verse 6, unto us a child is born and a son is given, and the government of this kingdom will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Boy, do we need a Prince of Peace to take over things these days. Of the increase of his government, of the increase of his kingdom and peace, the increase of this government and peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, forever. And that verse ends by saying, who is going to do this? The zeal of the Lord of hosts. God the Father will accomplish this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We can see in the first chapter of the book of Mark, After John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee. We were just there a couple months ago. Jesus came there preaching the good news, the gospel, which means good news, the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus was preaching this good news all around that area where we walked and toured and traveled. He was preaching this gospel and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. This was 2,000 years ago. The time is ripe for God's kingdom. We can rest assured that the time is being fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news, Jesus said. And he was telling them in chapter 4 of Mark, he was telling the disciples, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, everything is given in parables. And he was telling them about the parable of the growing seed, the seeds that were thrown out, and some grew 30-fold, some grew 60-fold, some grew 100-fold, a profitable crop. The kingdom of God is like that, but it grows abundantly and incredibly like the mustard seed. The mustard seed is the tiniest seed, one of the tiniest seeds of all. And when it's planted and grows, it becomes a huge tree where the birds of the air nest in its branches and leaves, right? Jesus was telling them, what shall we liken this kingdom of God? To what shall we liken it or compare it? When Jesus saw the disciples saying, oh, don't let those, get those little kids out of here. We don't want these little kids in here. This is the Savior, Jesus Christ. And when Jesus saw that, he was greatly displeased. And he said, let the little children come to me. Don't forbid them. Of such is the kingdom of God. This is what the kingdom of God is all about. He said, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like one of these little children, like a little child, he will by no means enter it. Not only that, he was looking around at them in Mark chapter 10, and he said to the disciples, how hard is it for people who have riches to enter God's kingdom? Because people who are driven by the pursuit of money and finances and everything else, that captivates their complete focus. And Jesus said, how hard is it for people who are pursuing riches to enter God's kingdom? And the disciples were astonished at his words. And they answered, they said, what are you saying there? And Jesus said, how hard it is for those that trust in riches, those who are trusting in riches, to enter God's kingdom. Later on in the book of Luke, chapter 4, he was saying to the disciples, I must preach the kingdom of God to all these other cities. He was traveling around the Holy Land. And he said, I must preach the kingdom of God to these other cities also, for this is the purpose for which I was sent. He said, because for this purpose I've been sent. when Luke was recording the Beatitudes for us in chapter 6, verse 20, it said, Jesus lifted up his eyes toward the disciples. And he knew that the disciples had left and given up a lot to follow him, right? And he said to his disciples, chapter 6, verse 20 of Luke, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. If you are poor and your life is not managed or driven by riches, the kingdom of God is yours. In chapter 8 of Luke, he was going through every city and village and preaching and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. They got to see how he went about this and what he said to them and how he was encouraging people about this coming kingdom of his Father, God's kingdom. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to do what one other thing. One thing that will happen when God's kingdom comes. He sent them to heal the sick. When the multitudes in chapter 9 knew that he had gone to Bethsaida, they followed him because they wanted to see the signs, they wanted to be healed. And he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And he healed all those who were in need of healing. And he said, what is the kingdom of God like? Now he's giving them another analogy aside from that of the one of the little children. It's also, he was relating the parable of the leavening, where the woman took a bit of leavening and she put it in the dough and it leavens the whole lump. That is a comparison of what God's kingdom will be like when God brings his kingdom. It will fill, just like leavening, the whole earth and the universe as we know it, as God desires according to his will. In chapter 18 of Luke, Jesus was saying to them that there was a man that came up to him and said, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? What do I have to do to be in this kingdom? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? And he said, good teacher? He said, why do you call me good? There's no one good but God. And he said, you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't commit murder. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Just a little aside from this, I couldn't believe there was someone who left the church because they didn't. They said, oh, you don't have to keep the Sabbath. Jesus only listed the last few commandments here. You don't have to keep the first four. That's human reasoning, is it not? Jesus said, don't murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness. And the man said to him, all these things I've kept from my youth. And Jesus told him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and distribute, and you will have treasure in heaven if you give it all to the poor. Distribute it all to the poor and come and follow me. Here was another person whose total focus was on his possessions and his riches. Because when this man heard this, he became very sorrowful because he was very rich. When Jesus saw that he became sorrowful, he was saying to the disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? Those who have the faith enough to enter God's kingdom will not have to worry about riches of this life, right? because there'll be so much to look forward to, it will pale anything in this life into insignificance. And Jesus was telling them, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter God's kingdom. And those that heard it, they said, well, who then can be saved? Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. In Luke 18, verse 25 through 27, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. So, to be in God's kingdom is impossible for men, but with God, all things are possible. If we yield to Him and live according to His will with a contrite heart. Just like David said in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And Jesus said, there was, in verse 29 of chapter 18 of Luke, He said, there is no one who has left houses or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of God's kingdom who will not receive many times more than that in this present time. He said, in this present time, they'll receive much more. Even though they've given up everything, even in this time, they will receive much more. And in the age to come, in God's kingdom, they will receive eternal life. That's the plan God has in mind for all His creation, for mankind, those who do His will, live according to His plans and will, to live forever in His kingdom. As we see the distresses and the tribulations going on all around us in this end time, I don't think there's any question with any of us that we're not in the end time. As we see all this going on around us, Jesus said, when you see these things happening, know, there's one thing you can know, that the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near you. When you see all these things, when we see all these things going on, the distress, the famine, the earthquakes, the wars, rumors of war, nation against fighting against nation, know that the kingdom of God is near. In chapter 22, verse 28, He was telling His disciples, you are those who have continued with me. You've continued with me in my trials. You've stood by me. You've remained my friends. You haven't forsaken me like they all were going to do soon enough when He was betrayed. But He said, you've continued with me in my trials up to then, and I bestow upon you a kingdom. Jesus told us, His disciples, as He told His disciples back then, I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table. We have the humble privilege to look forward to eating and drinking at the table of our Savior, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. He said this was His kingdom. And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Acts 14:22, Paul was strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them, continue in the faith. Hang in there, endure, continue in the faith. And he was saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Yes, the road will not be a perfectly smooth path. There will be bumps and curves and jagged offshoots in the road on the way. But he said, we must, through much tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. What is this kingdom of God? It's three things. We are told in Romans 14, in the words of Paul, for the kingdom of God is, it's not eating and drinking, he said, but it is these three things. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is what we have to look forward to, that is going to, by God's will and providence, take over all the governments of men, all that's going on now, and we will be able to rejoice in the joy of the Holy Spirit and this government of righteousness and peace. Revelation 21. We're told in verse 3, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. God's tabernacle, his kingdom, will be with men. And he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. This is how the Bible ends, the second to the last chapter. God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. And he, in verse 4, this is one of my favorite. Oh, that we could look forward to this. God will wipe away every tear, Revelation 21:4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death when we're united with all our loved ones that we've lost. No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. There'll be no more pain, for all the former things have passed away, because his kingdom will be in rulership and governing all that's going on then. So how do we get there? Jesus was telling his disciples when they asked him in John chapter 3, he said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, unless one is born of the water and spirit, in verse 5 of John 3, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So being born of the water means being baptized, right? Yielding ourselves to baptism, and giving and receiving of the Holy Spirit, God's very nature. Being baptized and receiving the Holy Spirit. Unless that happens, one cannot see the kingdom of God. Because as Paul was telling those in Corinth, Corinthians 15:50, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Corruption can't inherit incorruption. He says, I tell you a mystery in verse 51. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die and stay that way. He said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. That is how we will enter God's kingdom. That's the only way we can enter God's kingdom, is by being changed, because the corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal body must put on immortality. The way we enter God's kingdom is by receiving eternal life. So we know there'll be no end to this kingdom and of God's rule of peace and love. We'll put on immortality, and then the saying will come to pass that says, death is swallowed up in victory. Victory, the victory of God's kingdom will totally swallow up and eradicate and do away with death forever. Paul was telling those in Thessalonica in chapter 1, verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians, we are bound to give, to thank God always for you, brethren. It's fitting because your faith grows exceedingly. Your faith, brethren, grows, continues to grow, because we continue to look to God, to fellowship, to congregate, to yield to His Spirit, to be humble and contrite, and look for His kingdom, just like Joseph was looking for the kingdom of God. Joseph of Arimathea, he was waiting for the kingdom of God. And Paul was telling them, we ourselves boast about you among the churches, that you endure. And that is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Your endurance is part of what allows us to be counted worthy for God's kingdom, for which you also suffer. There will be a time of persecution that we will have to endure through in order to make it to God's kingdom. And he said, it is a righteous God. It's a righteous thing with God to repay those with tribulation, those who persecute you. Those who put you through tribulation are going to have, as he said in Deuteronomy 7:10, those who hate me, I will repay them to their face. God will pay them back with the same trouble that they, or tribulation that they put us through. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, as he brings that wonderful kingdom of God. And we can finish by looking at the last chapter of Revelation, verse 14, chapter 22. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Blessed are those who do his commandments. They're humbly enduring with faith, waiting for the kingdom like Joseph of Arimathea, that they may have the right to the tree of life, the right to the tree of eternal life. That's why God wouldn't let Adam and Eve take it in the Garden of Eden that Howard was telling us about, because he wouldn't want them to live forever in sin. Here in God's kingdom, we will be able to live forever in his peace, in his spirit, in his righteousness. They may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. What city? The New Jerusalem. That will be a major part of God's kingdom coming as we together, hand in hand and shoulder to shoulder, wait for God's kingdom, just like Joseph of Arimathea. Have a wonderful Sabbath and week waiting for God's kingdom.